welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I interview Adam Inlay of adaminlay.com. He's an active member of the Divi community, has been for several years now, and he does freelance web design and increasingly one-on-one Divi training. So we've never talked about how someone might go about starting and running a one-on-one Divi training business, and I'm really excited about it because as Adam and I talked, it became very apparent to me that this is a business that a ton of people in our community could go out right away and start this business and be quite good at it and see a lot of success. You're going to learn all about how to do that and a lot more in today's episode of Divi Nation. Here it is. Adam, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hey, Nathan, how are you doing today?
I'm good. It seems to be a week or two of people coming on the show who I've been trying to arrange a recording with for a while. Our last guest, she was, we were trying to, Alyssa, we tried for a year. I don't know how long it's been with you exactly. I know we missed each other at WordCamp Orange County, but we also tried maybe before that. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. Off and on. And I figured just go when we get to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, for those who don't know you, I know you're super active in the Facebook groups. You've been coming out to the WordCamps and Divi meetups for at least 2 years now. But for those who don't know you, kind of introduce yourself. Tell us where you're located and what it is you do.
I'm Adam Inlay, and I'm from adaminlay.com, and I do web design and Divi training, and I do not use anything other than Divi. Shout out to ET. if you need maintenance or something, I will maintain the other ones, but we'll design from there. But I'm based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and
which not many people know is the home of Andy Warhol.
Right on.
Yeah. So you see, I always think it's funny when I drive into Pittsburgh because I'm in Ohio. I'm in Columbus, as you know. And when you drive into Pittsburgh from Columbus or from Ohio, you go across this big pink bridge and there are all these signs for the Andy Warhol Museum. And you go in there and it's like everything's bedazzled and has weird, you know, like pop art stuff everywhere. So.
Oh, yeah. Every time we pass that, my son's favorite song is Andy Warhol by David Bowie, of course. So
nice.
He starts singing that. So
that's awesome. As someone who I don't think we've ever had somebody who specializes in like in one-on-one Divi training, that is what you do, correct? The one-on-one?
Correct.
So I would love to get into that later on the podcast and talk about how people can maybe focus on that or incorporate that into what they do. But maybe we can get a bit of context first and just learn a bit about your backstory. Can you tell us what got you into WordPress and web design in the first place?
Absolutely. It started out actually as a hobby back in, I want to say, 9th, 10th grade during the .com boom. Where it took 15 minutes to get online.
Yeah. And gotta remember that. It's horrible.
Actually, that's the reason why it stayed a hobby for quite a while. I went to the library, read up on HTML, CSS from actual books. And I started designing websites in Notepad for family and friends. I had businesses and actually got kind of good at it. Well, until 2008, I didn't take it seriously, and I injured myself doing another job, so I had to look for a...
Wow.
Yeah, so I figured there's no heavy lifting with web design most of the time.
Usually.
Yeah, and then... so I buckled down, went to school, figured out whether I was doing it correctly or not. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, I actually discovered ET and WordPress.
And so before that, you were doing just what, like hand-coded static websites, like HTML and CSS?
Correct.
Just on a server?
Yeah, nothing beautiful whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. But it worked for the amount.
Well, sure. I mean, that's what everybody did back in the day. And if you came out of that, and, you know, it's funny because if you weren't plugged into web design from, say, like 2004 to 2010, you missed a lot. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff that particularly in the WordPress space that happened that became a norm because there were all of a sudden these like point and click or turnkey solutions for, like, you know, a theme, for instance. Like, having a pre-designed thing in and of itself was a big thing that only came about in 2008 with the launch of, you know, like Studio Press and Elegant Themes, stuff like that. So I can imagine if you're making that transition from hand coding static websites to all of a sudden, you know, what you said, this was 2013?
About 2008, but
sorry, yeah. So what was that transition like?
Actually, at first I discovered Genesis and
so many people did. Yeah,
I tell you, I almost just went to go find a job at the grocery store or something. I absolutely hated WordPress at first, and then eventually I found ET and the support group. And a lot like my friend Gino, I combed the support and learned more CSS and how to develop on WordPress from there. Mm. Thank you, guys.
And, yes, our support team always likes to hear that.
Oh, yeah. And I've learned a ton in there. And then from there, I just went to Facebook and found a bunch of great guys like SJ and Gino. That's where I found Gino.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other people like Leslie and that helped me along the way and still help me today.
Yeah. But,
long story short, here I am today developing websites for multinational companies.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how much of your business would you say is a split between, like client work and Divi training? Well, what's the split?
I would say it's probably 75-25 client work, Divi training.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I get really busy and it's closer to 50-50, but right now I could say it's 75-25.
Yeah. And what's your ideal split? I mean, do you like having more client work than training work, or are you maybe transitioning into more training work? What's your ideal balance?
I actually love doing the training. So I would prefer 50% training, 50% white label, so I could get away from the client.
Well, you got a huge network of people in the community who need white label work, I'm sure. So you could probably work that out in the near future.
Absolutely. And I'm actually working on rebranding myself at the moment to concentrate on only those two.
Very cool.
Because that with white label, you don't really have to go advertise yourself as much, and it's a lot less workload. So
yeah, it's like word of mouth, and you're not managing the client. Someone else is managing the client, and you're just basically executing, you know, a to-do list from the person you're white labeling for.
Absolutely. I'm lazy and that's the way to go. I mean, not really. I get the job done, but you know.
I get you. Well, one of the cool things about about this community and about freelancing or solopreneurship or whatever you want to call it is the fact that, you know, not everybody loves to do everything. You know, not everybody wants to have the responsibility of growing a megalithic business or a huge studio or agency business. Some people literally just like, my ideal is that I have enough work to do that I'm busy for like 4 to 5 hours a day, maybe a little bit more, and I pay all my bills and have a good life, and then I spend the rest of the time, my time, doing stuff that I like with my family or my friends or whatever. That's awesome. We've actually had a few episodes about that, just like creating a sustainable living and that being the end goal. And I think that is an awesome goal for some people. I don't know if that's where you're at, but you'll get no judgment from me for wanting to limit the, you know, what you do to only the stuff that, that you find, you know, interesting or fulfilling.
Absolutely. That's exactly where I'm at. That just have enough work to make sure I have a roof over my head. And the rest of the time, I'm a stay-at-home mom. So my wife works like 100 hours a week. So
nice.
I'm with the kids all the time. So whenever I can really go hiking with them, it's great, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, I my wife, she works at an office, and I work at home. And so whenever she's out and about, I know when I was a freelancer and I before I came on board with Elegant Themes, we had this like really cool balance where, you know, if there was something that needed done around the house or something like that, it's like, that was my job. That was part of my job. It's like, I had my freelance work. I'd write like, you know, 3 or 4 big articles a week. But other than that, I was, you know, working here at home. And I really enjoyed that. I enjoy this more, but I enjoyed that as much as anything else I'd done before. And I think that's a niche that a lot of people don't really think about. It's like doing the just enough amount to like design a life that you enjoy, rather than like working tirelessly towards some abstract financial goal of like, I have a lot, you know, or I have a big account or whatever it is, you know.
Exactly. And tell you the truth, I have another business that I own. So
oh wow, I didn't know that. Can you share? I mean, we don't have to go in depth, but
oh yeah, it's kind of boring, but I enjoy it. It gets me out to every kind of business possible, which is great for websites. It's time and attendance systems, how you punch in and out for the day.
Ah, interesting.
And I sell service and install everything from old paper time card time clocks to new biometric systems where you just look at it and punches you in. So
yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, every brick and mortar place that has employees coming in and out, they need something like that. So I could imagine how that, combined with doing localized training and localized website designs, would be a good fit.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the training aspect of what it is you do. How did you start doing Divi training, and kind of what does that look like?
Well, how I started was, I got a few people from Facebook that just messaged me and said, how do you do this, or how do you do that? And I kind of looked around, and there were not really anyone doing training when I started.
Yeah.
And I just basically went in and started showing people the basic options of all the modules, the roles, settings, how to set up WordPress pages, menus, and all that. And I think word of mouth, I just started getting busier and busier. And one thing led to another. It's the main part of my business now. So
how do you structure your training sessions? I mean, do you have like just the client, or, you know, student, or however you term what terminology you use, do they just send you a list of questions like, I'd like you to go over this? Or do you say, hey, become my student and I'll teach you XYZ? How does that work?
Actually, it's on a case-to-case basis.
Okay.
A lot of times I have people that really want to know how to do a certain thing, and I just go and show them that. And other people really want to learn Divi or WordPress. Sure.
Yeah.
So, so it really depends.
How do you bill for it? Like, do you break it up by, is it hourly or is it flat rate per session or what?
Actually, it's hourly. And okay. I could show you a lot of the back end of Divi within a couple of hours.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's people that want to go in and learn some extra CSS and stuff like that. And I would say within a 5-hour block, most people. Then I have one client, bless his soul, that's come back probably 100 times to learn everything.
Single-handedly keeping your training business afloat.
Exactly.
So what kind of, okay, so I guess what I'm trying to do is I want to get a picture of what a typical session is like. I mean, can you kind of walk through what that looks like, starting with, like, you get somebody through word of mouth, you email with them to set up a time. Just kind of walk us through how the logistics of how these sessions work and how they're set up.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the time I find them on Facebook at Divi Help and Share. Mm-hmm. And well, they find me.
Sure.
And private message me, say, hey, I need help with this. And then I give them my email and we set up a time date from there. And then I remote in using TeamViewer or another program like that, and just help them learn WordPress remotely, one-on-one, outside of a classroom setting.
Yeah.
So it's a more intense way of learning for some people. Other people don't like it, but, you know.
So you're actually using what was it, GoToMeeting, or what was the software you're using to actually get onto their computer?
I use TeamViewer.
TeamViewer, okay. So you're using a tool that allows you to log into their computer and actually have mouse control, and you show them stuff, and then you have them do stuff, and how does that work? What's a typical session look like after you get in there?
Typically I just, like you said, I gain control of their mouse, and I show them where to click and everything like that. And,
it sounds to me like, sorry, what you're saying or what you're getting at is that there's no set format except for the fact that you're just there with them in a very controlled environment and walking them through whatever it is they need to know in order to feel like they're getting value out of it. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. Okay. I apologize. I train everybody from web designers who don't know any WordPress to lawyers. So it's different, every single time.
Exactly. I had a feeling you were having trouble just going, well, it's all unique, so there is no typical session.
Exactly.
So that's cool. So what kind of stuff do people, sorry, maybe you already just answered this, but you're saying a lot of different people who are doing different things, whether it's a lawyer or a teacher or, just somebody wants to create their first website. What's their motivation typically? Is it to run their business better, to
actually
expand their own personal skill set, or what?
I want to say the most popular person that asked me to teach them is other web designers that don't know anything about WordPress. So
interesting.
They want to take that and use WordPress with their clients to expand their ability. So,
oh, fascinating. So are they? Wait, who are these web designers who don't know WordPress? Can give me an idea of where they're coming from? That's not to say that they shouldn't know. There are a lot of people who are fantastic, say like front end developers who work at shops, like agencies or their own shops or their own clients, who develop stuff on top of other people's work, and they've never had to use WordPress and they don't even want to use WordPress, but then all of a sudden they find themselves in a position to. Is that who you're talking about? Or are these people who are doing what you did a long time ago, and all of a sudden they're like, I want to get back into web design, and it seems like WordPress is where I go?
Yep. I would say that's basically out of the web designer column, that's the most frequent one.
Gotcha.
Which the small guys trying to learn it again.
Maybe someone who took a long break and is trying to get back into it and had the same path that you had, which is like, it looks like WordPress is the thing to know now.
Exactly.
And Divi is the theme to know in WordPress.
Yes, I'm spreading the gospel.
That's awesome. So for those who are interested in potentially starting their own one-on-one training, let's talk some really basic logistics. What does someone need to do? Or what are some of the things people need to consider if they want to make this their core business? And you're saying it's only 25 to 50% of your business at any given time in the year. Do you have some tips that people could follow, whether it's finding and booking client or students, rates, session times, anything that you can give some guidance on in those areas?
Right. For myself, the most popular way of finding clients have been on Facebook, of course. Mm-hmm. And I don't do any marketing, but I've also had a great head start with the community and everything. Yeah. So if you don't have the community, marketing on Facebook would be the way to go. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, 10 bucks here and there, and target some big cities with your keywords. And
yep. And of course, get involved in the community, because that is the easiest way. It's free. It takes your time, but it's free and beneficial. And it almost always results in somebody throwing you some business at some point in time.
Right. Those credentials are key to get in the client as well, as yep. you'll find with Gino. He's the godfather of tutorials. So
yeah, absolutely.
Everybody knows he's all about helping. So.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, but I'm not quite at his level quite yet. So someday.
Yeah. So what about, so that's how you're getting clients in the door, or getting people interested. How do you organize and schedule people out? You know, like, how do you manage your calendar with all these potential students? How do you close the deal and actually get to the action of teaching?
For myself, I actually have a pretty low rate. I don't charge, let's say, $300 an hour or anything mm-hmm. like that. I keep it a little below my design rate. Let's say $50 an hour for talk's sake. And
sure.
Then that's low enough. And the one I'm giving away is high enough value where that basically closes the door itself.
Yeah, that's an easy sell at that point. You're like, listen, I will personally guide you through this. $50 an hour. We can talk for 2 hours. You can afford that. Let's do this. You know what?
Exactly.
That's cool. And so what? How often do you try to book a training session, or do you just book them as they come along?
I book them as they come along. No. And I don't really have to put any effort into it. They sure. just
come to you and you roll with it. Let's say though that today you were like, okay, I'm going to try to start making this my core business, 100% of what I do. What kind of steps, based on what you've learned so far, would you take in order to kind of like book your calendar out?
I would say give yourself a little bit of time and don't cram everything together. Look at your calendar, make sure you don't have any appointments or anything like that, and do 2 or 3 a day. And space them out an hour at least between them.
Yeah,
so you have some time to get up, go bathroom, drink, and whatever you need to do.
Rest your brain.
Exactly.
Scream and frustrate. No, I'm just kidding.
Sometimes. And just try not to overdo it. That's the biggest thing about scheduling. So you don't get the sardine can effect.
Yeah. And I think maybe not to step on your toes or anything, but I think maybe another thing that you said would be, you know, don't try to do too much also applies to not just scheduling, but to the content itself. I mean, people, particularly in a one-on-one info dump like that, they're not going to retain, you know, everything. So just, it seems like, you know, I'm sitting here today. One of the things I'm working on is I'm creating the handbook for our Divi Nation meetup event organizers. And in that handbook, we're giving topic ideas on things that people could cover. And it seems like that would be very similar to this, where it's like things that a beginner would need to know, like Divi 101 stuff. Now, you don't want to cover massive amounts of information in one setting. You want to do just a little bit and make sure they get that little bit. And then you can cover, you can retrace those steps and build on it in like the next session.
Absolutely. You don't want to go from learning, teaching them how to change the font in the text module to, hey, look, there's some waypoints, you know? So, right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you may not even want to go over, like, say, the whole customizer in one go. You might say, you know, this 35, 40 minutes, we're going to talk about customizing the header using the customizer, and we're going to go over different configurations and what makes those configurations beneficial, why or why not you may want to choose those, and then I'm going to take your questions, and that would be, you know, an hour, and that would probably be what someone could reasonably retain in a given session. It wouldn't be, you know, a complete theme overview. Yeah. Yes. Even though you might do a quick theme overview, that wouldn't be the whole session.
Yeah, and most of the time when I do it, it is like that. 1 hour will focus on just the settings within the modules, mm-hmm. and then the next time we'll come back and just go over like the Divi library or something. Yeah. Just little things like that.
So it seems exactly like you could really start to create. I mean, like if you were to basically just say, take the Divi documentation and go, all right, if I were to outline all the articles in the Divi documentation and go, what order, if I were brand new to Divi, would I want to learn these things in? That's probably like a year's worth of teaching right there, you know, and all the source material is already done for you. You just got to figure out, you know, the pacing that you want to introduce that to people. And once people start getting that introduction, they get a feel for it. They learn a little bit here, they learn a little bit there, and they know that they can always come back to you. It seems like it would naturally turn into this recurring business with like one person coming back to you time and again for a session here, a session there, or doing a whole, say, Divi 101 course, but in person.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to thank you guys for the documentation. It's been fantastic. I've been trying to reorganize myself and become a little more organized, following that format. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. Big shout out to Jason Champagne on that, our newest member of the content team. He has been working tirelessly along with myself and Nick, but a lot of Jason's work is he's kind of taken the point on this of just revamping and improving our Divi documentation. So really excited about that.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So what kind of stuff, you said you're thinking about reorganizing or getting more organized. What kind of stuff are you doing to improve your training business?
Well, I'm just seeing what path the documentation is on. Mm-hmm. So I don't skip around as much. I always made that a point to stick to the same topic, but documentation is a little more organized than I am. So it's always good to have that template down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's just one of the brilliant things about this idea of one-on-one training as a business model is because it's not like the information's not out there. Like clearly it's out there. It's all of our documentation. So the same person who's hiring you could go to our documentation, but that's not how they learn. Like if you learn by investigating for yourself, you have a business. What a low barrier to entry into a new business, you know, like all that's left after that is becoming a good presenter, becoming a good teacher. I mean, that's not easy by any means, but, you know, just having that ability to go, I learn by reading and doing, and there are other people out there who don't learn that way, who need someone to walk them through it, I can sell to them. That's awesome. And it's so like you could start that business tomorrow, you know?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the questions I get, you could easily Google and it's the very first thing you find on Google. So, yeah. And I don't mind telling them how to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. So they know how to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
what you're selling is your familiarity with the product, your ability to research, your ability to communicate. And a lot of it is your authority as someone who's been around the community and been in those groups a long time. I mean, that seems to be the thing that is attaching a lot of value to that business model.
I want to say, if you do have a business model that goes that way, go into any, it doesn't have to be my Facebook community, but mm-hmm. any of the Facebook communities. So there's probably 60 of them out there by this time.
It is growing.
Go look for the answers the questions that people are asking. And that's a lot of the questions that I get.
Yeah.
And people are answering them, but I don't think it doesn't translate for everybody. So
yeah. Yeah.
As much as I hate personal Facebook and I'm on there too much, but do it, but it's great for business. So.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm trying to think of some interesting things you could do. So as far as just to make the training process a little easier, to provide extra value to your students. And I'm curious about this. When you log in, are you showing people how to install WordPress, install Divi a lot of times as well?
So I would say yes. That's a mixed bag as well. A lot of times they have a sample page up mm-hmm. and they didn't know where to go from there.
I'm wondering is if it seems like it would be easier to create a lesson if you had the same resources on hand for each student, but because you're logging into their computer, you really have to kind of work with what they have. Seems like if they didn't have anything like, say, Photoshop or images or just the assets you would need to create a website, layout packs, etc., that you would need someplace for them to go. So, of course, you could have that be your website and you could just have them navigate to your website. Or you could have, a Dropbox link that's public and you could just download your own stuff onto their computer at any given time. But
that's actually a great idea.
Well, now I'm just thinking about okay, if I were to log into someone else's computer, what are all the little hacks that I would have to develop in order to make that streamlined for each person and, come or basically be able to do the same set of tutorials over and over again to show people what they're talking about. Granted, what you're doing actually sounds a bit more valuable than that because you're customizing your answers to the solutions that they need. How do I get my real live website to do this specific thing? And you're like, here, let me do that for you, or let me show you how to do it. So I'm sure that's actually maybe even more valuable, but it's not nearly as easily repeatable. So I guess what I'm saying is you should raise your prices, dude. No, just
kidding. if it all started out clean slate, that would be wonderful. But
yeah, I didn't think about that. Do you have a lot of cleanup that you have to do sometimes when you get in there and someone's their site is a nightmare to look at?
Yes. If you're using plugins, please limit it, please. I'm getting people with, I know a lot of people don't know any better, but it's 25, 30 plugins.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I want to say use the essential five and that's it.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole list of themes and it's just, I go in and show them how to clean all that up.
Yeah.
What to use. And then, image wise, I get a lot of people that just take images off, Google mm-hmm. and I show them, pixels or
Unsplash or something like anything Creative Commons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're doing stuff that people just general WordPress stuff that people need to know in addition to how to use Divi. But when you're done, it seems like because of that's your approach, you would have covered a lot of different things that may not be, a cohesive lesson, like logical progression lesson plan. Do you provide like recordings of your lessons to your students so that they can revisit and go, oh, well, we covered like five random things at this part and I don't, you know, remember that, but I can always go back to it?
Actually, yeah, I do.
Oh, nice. Do you do MP3s or is it video so that they can watch the...
It's an MP4, so yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Very cool. And do you record that with the app, the same application that you use to get on their computer, or is it separate?
You know, with muscle memory, I can't remember. It's one of two, so it's the same software. It just I can't remember if it was TeamViewer or LogMeIn and Rescue. So, answer your question. It is the same software.
Cool. So we're getting close on time. So I'd like to maybe try to recap some of our main points, and then I'll ask you to add anything if you do. So if you're looking to create a training, a one-on-one training business, first step is get involved in the community, build a reputation as someone who's helpful, someone who knows what they're doing, use Facebook and get plugged in. As you start to get some clients, make sure that you have the right software to get into their computer and record everything so that there's a resource for them to refer to. And if you're wondering how to get started and what your knowledge base is, it's already on our website. It's called documentation and it's our blog. Between those two things, you should have everything you need to basically kickstart a very basic Divi 101 type teaching setup and WordPress 101. And then you can charge hourly, and that's a business you can start tomorrow. Do you have any tip that I missed there, or any basic tenet that people need to keep in mind?
No, I was going to say, one-on-one works for everybody that comes to me, but if you like the classroom setting, like check out Divi Soup or
Divi Soup, Web Courses Bangkok. There are a couple other folks out there who are doing the more of the coursework and classroom style setups. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just want a general, then that's the way to go.
Very cool. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. I appreciate you telling us about your business, your approach to using Divi for a business, and giving us some insight into one-on-one training.
Thank you. Nice seeing you again, Nathan.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Adam Inlay, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we will be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you all around the community. As always, I'll be back right here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.